get to the preaching.
Yes.
Good morning. It's a beautiful day someplace, and it is here. Glad you're here to worship the Lord and hear His Word and to magnify His name and to make Him known. When we gather together, we're doing what's right. It's what God has set forth and ordained, and we desire to magnify and honor Him and to declare His Word, whatever the day is like. Because every day is a day the Lord has made and placed us in it to be a witness and a testimony of His great grace. I would direct our attention together to the book of Ephesians and chapter 3. We commenced a little time together out of this portion last week and are digging back and forth through the scriptures to think upon it. Ephesians 3, down at verse 11, I'm going to move us to 11, 12, and 13. So Ephesians 3, verse 11, 12, and 13. Let me read at verse 11, please. It says, according to the eternal purpose which He, God, that is, accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access and confidence through faith in Him. I'm going to read that verse 12 again. In whom, that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was just mentioned in verse 11, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. A great lesson on faith just a short while ago in a good Sunday school class. Then he says, verse 13, therefore, I ask that you do not lose hope. Heart. He's talking about Paul's tribulations, but we would encourage ourselves here together not to lose heart. It is a world which would seek to downplay Christ and cause us to want to lose heart with regard to a world so overtaken by sin. Then God has redeemed us in the midst of that and placed us in this world, in this particular location where we're living now, to be those that show forth our confidence and realize that we have many wonderful things in Christ. So last week we looked just a little bit, a few verses here and there, on that phrase, we have, and realizing it's something, all that we have in Christ. And so therefore, we certainly are not ashamed of Him. But here we have this morning, we're moving ahead just a wee bit in the verse. It says, we have boldness. That's us gathered here. That's each believer that make up the local church. That in the church, the people, we have these three wonderful makeups with regard to our lives of service, boldness, access, and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. So in Him we have boldness. Now, moving ahead just a little bit, today we're going to talk about how we as believers, how each one of us, our speech before others with regard to the things of God as being bold, as standing up and speaking up for the Lord, so speaking for Him. Next Sunday, Lord willing, if we're still here and we're all looking forward to each day of being in glory, I trust, next Sunday we'll move ahead and talk about our speech before God. So today our boldness before people, next week our speaking, our speech before God. Now, if you went in and dug in your dictionary, and looked up the word boldness, looked up boldness and so on, you would find out it speaks there about a willingness to take a risk. It would be to act innovatively. That might be with the idea of a way we haven't acted before. And you would know that boldness speaks of courage, the quality of having a strong, vivid, clear appearance. Sometimes we look at a color, and we say, well, that's a bold color. It stands out. It has an appearance that sets forth boldness. Well, other words for boldness, and you're aware of them, you've used them and think on them. We have the word bravery and daring and determination, fearlessness, being adventurous. Now take your Bible and look back into the book of Proverbs just for a moment here. Proverbs in chapter 28. And just a reminder in the use here, Proverbs 28, verse 1, in fact, Proverbs 28:1. See if this is familiar to us. Everyone get there? Proverbs 28:1. Tells us that the wicked flee when no one pursues. But the righteous are what? Bold as a lion. All right, bold as a lion. They stand up, they speak up, they stand up for that which is right and godly before the Lord. The word boldness there can speak of we have a trust in the Lord. We have a strong trust in Him, a cheerful trust in the Lord God. Perhaps some might recall there'd been a chorus, a song that's around, you know, bold as a lion, strong as a bear. How's the rest of that go? Take the name of Jesus to people everywhere. All right, bold as a lion. Some days we don't feel much like a lion in our boldness. But the emphasis is we have that trust in the Lord that is just always there regardless of what is going on. Now listen, it's time for you to have a little response in the service. You responded a few minutes ago in singing songs and reading our scripture. Could you think of an individual or a situation either in the Bible or in other aspects of history of someone who you would consider bold in their actions, activities, and so on, Bible or otherwise, that is other parts of history. Daniel, there you go, great beginning. That's one. Pardon? Yes. Who else? Bold. Paul, certainly. Yep, Daniel's friends. Job, all right? Yeah. Bold. Your wives would say, my husband. Your husband a bold man for the things of Christ? Think of others? Esther. Oh, boy, yes, Esther. Yeah, bold, things of history, things that we're thinking primarily here, of course, the things of the scriptures, it's accurate history that is set forth there. Would you say the Lord Jesus? I know someone mentioned him. Would you say he was bold? Yeah. A favorite character of mine out of the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 11:22, Benaniah. You remember Benaniah? Never met him, huh? I guess probably as a kid I was impressed by him. Benaniah, went down into a cave, a hole in the ground, and slew a lion on a cold, snowy day. I always paused and said, well, why did he have to do it on a cold, snowy day? Was that lion someone against people? Was they having trouble with him? But the whole emphasis there, 1 Chronicles 11, 22, set forth something daring done on a very difficult day and time. Well, the word bold is used about 30 times in the New Testament. And about one-third of those 30 times, it speaks of an outspokenness, a frankness, not a haughtiness, but a frankness, a clarity of speech. It talks of an openness in the way things are being said, clarity to the public in regard to them. So, you know, the word boldness doesn't apply to most politicians. It's a compound word. Boldness is a compound word. It comes from the meaning of every and then word. So boldness, every word. That is, nothing's held back. The clarity of the truth and whatever's being brought out is sets forth. It's telling it all. Telling it all, a boldness. And it is, I believe, the most characteristic word in the book of Acts. And the early church often is expressed with this word with regard to its work, ministry, preaching, and so on. Paul used it often or expressed it in this way. Before him. It's kind of a word that's been filtered out of the life of our language or our thoughts or our speaking in the way in which we do. Last Sunday, we took a little run through the scriptures, starting back in the early part of the history of the things of the Bible and worked our way through into the New Testament or into the epistles. And we'll do the same this morning. So I direct your attention back to the book of Acts. If you would find the book of Acts and think this morning hour with me in chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we're thinking on boldness, a clarity of statement, giving out every word, not leaving out parts and things with regard to the message. So Acts chapter 2, the history of the church, or the church history book, the early history of the church. And from it we get all of that, which is this is the way we're to carry on a ministry as a local church, as we look at the history of it. And we see what God had the first church ever to do, and we believe we should carry through with regard to that. So in the book of Acts, in chapter 2, we got Peter. I call him the restored one. He becomes the natural spokesperson, leader, for the newly formed body, the first ever of such a body called the church. First ever in the history of the world, we have this Acts history book with regard to it. And in chapter 2, we're reminded that the Lord Jesus does what he said he would do. Christ said, when I go back to glory, to heaven, in my glorified body, I'm going to send someone to you. And who was he going to send? The Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and true to his word, he did that, and we see that promise being fulfilled in Acts chapter 2, as the Holy Spirit comes, and we see out of the ministry and the working of the Holy Spirit, in verse 14, if you would note chapter 2 in verse 14, it says, Peter standing up with the 11, raised his voice. Here we got Peter and all the other disciples, and remind us that the one appointed is filling in as well here, all 11, raised his voice and said to them. So he's speaking loudly to get everyone's attention, a very large group, and he says, "Men of Judea, all who dwell in Jerusalem, now let this be known to you, and heed my words." So he's setting forth a great message on Christ, what has happened. In declaring the person of Christ, he declares his life and his death and his resurrection. And when you look down through that chapter, chapter 2, and kind of glance down through the verses, find our way to verse 40, if you would, Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. And it says, "With many other words he testified." So we only kind of got part of his message that was preached here. "He exhorted them, saying, to be saved from this perverse generation." We do know just before that, in verse 38, he had given an invitation, the preaching of Christ, openly, with clarity and with boldness. He said, "Repent, and then be baptized, be identified with Christ and with his followers." And then they began serving the Lord Jesus Christ together. And the local church at that time, mostly made up of Jews, pressed on for Christ. There was some great boldness there with regard to him standing up and speaking up with regard to the things of the Lord. I'm not always so bold when it comes to a whole group. How about you? Yesterday at a family gathering and many people there, and there was a microphone, and the folks said, "Come and say some things." With regard to a sister-in-law who'd passed away in a family kind of remembrance time. And so here's the microphone, "Come and say something." Silence. Waited a while. "Anyone?" One of my brother-in-laws, who has done a lot of singing in front of groups and so on, or people, he grabbed the mic. He's used to it, I guess I would say. And he said a few things. I asked him later where, and he thought about that. "No, it just came out," he says, being part of the family and so on. And no one else did, including myself. I think many were quite emotional and hurt, take back, and all of that because of the loss of a loved one. But we didn't express any boldness. We had the opportunity. We could have spoken up. I'm sure they wouldn't let me preach because they didn't want a funeral service and they didn't want any prayer. But there's this time when Peter stands up. He don't have a microphone. And he lets it be known what was taking place by the Spirit of God who was sent, and how they began afterwards, after his message, serving the Lord together. Now you go to chapter 3, and he preaches about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have studied it. No, he brought his message out of the Old Testament with regard to Christ, as he would. Then you move ahead to chapter 4, Acts chapter 4. It says that many who heard the message being preached so boldly, verse 4, believed. Many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. That is a large, large, large group coming to Christ. And, of course, some did not like the gathering and the preaching, and so he was thrown in jail. When he comes back, gets out of jail the next morning, who does he get Peter get to preach to? Peter and John. Well, of course, to Congress and all the leaders, well, Sanhedrin anyway, and other dignities. And what did they preach? Who did they preach? Verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus, had been with him. There's a boldness. They were outspoken, blunt, we might say, in public. And when you look at chapter 4 and look down to verse 29, move down the chapter a bit. The church has regathered. They've gotten together, have some of the very first meetings of the church, verse 29. And we have them saying, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all," what? Yeah, "with all boldness, that they may speak your word." This is what the church is praying together. With all boldness. They're asking for boldness to do what? That we may speak your word. We get our tongues untied, and we don't hold back, and we openly declare who the Lord Jesus Christ. They were praying and acknowledging their responsibility to God, to the one who's in charge and sovereign, to need to trust him and to speak, which means there, you see the verse, it means speak your words, you know, use our own voices. Use our own voices. We ever pray that way? I'm trying to think if I ever had. Perhaps we have. Lord, you know, give me a voice to speak with. Let me speak boldly. Which just means doesn't necessarily speak of loudness. Sometimes we think that with boldness. But it's to speak with a clarity. And to say not what's on our minds. You've heard the old saying, I want to give them a good piece of my mind. And usually that gets us in big trouble. We can't afford to give up any of our mind. But the emphasis is here to speak things of what we believe about who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and to do it in a way of clarity. It probably speaks of a calmness of spirit, a confidence in what we are saying. It's a good way for us to pray. Good way for a local church to pray together with regard to at maybe their prayer meeting time or other times when you gather together. Lord, give us a boldness to speak, to use these very tongues you've given us. The things of Christ is what we want to talk about. Grant to us boldness to speak your word. You know, it wasn't a prayer against others, but it was for a faithfulness on their part, a faithfulness on our part to speak up for the Lord. Declare who he is and be ready to do that and set it forth. I'm not ready as much as I should be. It's not that I don't know the scriptures and things you could speak up, but it's just somehow the tongue seems to get clipped, you know. And we don't speak when we know we could have. And we often say afterwards, oh, I should have said something. Or why didn't I say something? Well, here they had prayed that way, and perhaps you and I need to pray more often and pray this way as well. And look at verse 31, and we ask, well, was the prayer answered? They said here, grant to us. Remember that in verse 29, look there first. They said, now, Lord, look to the threatenings of others. They're against us, preaching about the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus and who he was. Verse 29, and grant or give to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. And was the prayer answered is our question. And we look down in the scriptures to verse 31, and it says, when they had prayed, the place where they assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they did what? They said, let's go to McDonald's. You know, what did they do? They spake. Yeah, just what they had prayed about. What they asked God to grant to them was carried forth. Many times we have to do that in different opportunities and places and situations right then and there. Lord, grant to me. Maybe it's give me the courage. Give me the words. Help me recall what I've set and studied in Scripture in church for so many years. Help me to stand up and to say something or sit down and say something, to speak with regard to it, to speak bluntly. Remember, that's not harshly, it's just with the clarity of it, speaking in public with regard to the clearness of the scriptures. And God gave them what they had prayed for, and they did what they wanted to do and did it in boldness. Now, we read here earlier together, the church read there in Acts 9 and that whole situation with Paul. When he was saved in Acts chapter 9, and how when he was saved, after he was saved, he was baptized, and then he met with other disciples there in Acts chapter 9 and verse 19, and he preached the word, he preached about Christ, the one he had been opposed to, that he was Jesus, the Son of God. Remember that in verse 20? Acts chapter 9 and verse 20, and the unsaved were amazed, and he continues to give out the word of God, and as he continued to give out the word of God, they plotted to kill him. Hey, we got to get rid of him. So he escapes, remember, to Jerusalem, and we get down to verse 27. Barnabas introduces Paul to the other disciples. He takes, as it were, that chance. He'd heard the testimony of others about Paul. Saul, who became Paul, and the preaching there of the word. And we're reminded, when you just down to this, verse 26, I'm in Acts chapter 9, and down at verse 26, if you would just note our quick run through there and our reading of it and where we're at this time. So Acts chapter 9, and if you would find verse 26, and here's the words that we have there. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe he was a disciple. So Barnabas takes him in and brought him to the apostles. Notice that, brings him to the apostles. He declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him. And how he had preached what? Boldly, yeah, clarity, openly, made Christ known in Damascus in the name of Jesus. And verse 29, so he was with them in Jerusalem, coming in, going out, about throughout the things of the business. Verse 29, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus. And disputed, set forth the things of the Word of God and declared them. We have a great lesson there from out of Ephesians 3, our starting point here a little while ago, that it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not us and our personality. Most of our personalities are not such which causes us just to be like a Peter and stand up and just speak out on things. Peter always had that personality, did he not, before he was saved? Was he not always? It really was his way of life to speak up and to say things, right or wrong, with regard to them, and now knowing Christ, say things that are right with regard to him. We're not all of that same personality, but that does not mean that there are not times, and probably more of them than we take advantage of, when we ought to just speak in a bold way, and again, that means in a clear way, just to declare, take that opportunity with regard to who Jesus Christ is, not talk about ourselves, talking about who Christ is, and what the Scripture says about him, and to let it be known of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have just a little bit more this morning. Say amen. We've had enough. All right. Be bold. Come on. Speak up. If you would look ahead in your Bible just a little bit now to the book of Philippians, please. Philippians. And this great example we have of Paul, who is at this point in Scripture as we look at it, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, we find him in jail, as Paul often was in jail. He's in jail, and when you think about it, some of the greatest writings of Paul came out of his time in jail. It was a time when he was alone and sitting down, or for the most part alone. And he boldly writes the things of the Scriptures and sets them forth. So you and I look to the Scriptures to find out and see how we want to set forth a boldness for the Lord. So Philippians 1, 12, 13, 14. Paul's in jail. And he gives a testimony of people, how the people that he knows are becoming bolder and bolder for the cause and the namesake of the Lord Jesus Christ in their ministry and their actions. I'm going to read it, verse 12, Philippians 1:12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually happened, turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, the pushing forward of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are because of who? Therefore, Christ, right? Chains are for Christ. And most, notice this wording. Ever look carefully at the wording? He doesn't say all and everyone, but most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident in my chain, having become, you know, saying, well, they weren't at first. They didn't quite, what's going on? There wasn't quite a great trust there. What's, you know, they're kind of holding back. Having become confident in my chains. Now he says, you know, now they are much more bold to speak the word of God without fear, with an inference, while before they'd been fearful to preach, to teach, and give out the word of God. We've all had fearful times to speak up for Christ. And what helps us to speak up for Christ? Other people who are speaking up for Christ encourages us. It emboldens us. When we see someone else giving out tracts this past Tuesday, wife and I went with another friend over to the wonderful place called Roots, and one of their auctions of food and so on, and I went up and left, and I guess probably went to the bathroom, was walking around, and as I walked around the corner, a man stands there. He's handing out tracts. And here in the midst of multitudes of people, and a big smile on his face, and he has a handful, and can I give you something to think about? And so I took it and read it, and I thanked him for giving them out, and said, I'm a believer in Christ, and thank you for being here, and doing this, and having a testimony here as you are. Well, you know, when someone else does that, it gives me, at this point, you know, more confidence, be ready to speak, to give out the gospel. What do you give out? Give out the Word of God, right? Give out the Scriptures. What God has said, we give it out. We have some boldness with regard to doing that. So we got this testimony here hundreds of years ago that Paul is saying, at first, a lot of folks are pretty fearful to, but when they saw that I kept giving out the Scriptures, and I spoke in a bold way, a clarity of way with regard to the Scriptures, and I was consistent with regard to giving out the Scriptures, it helped others. It emboldened them. They who were fearful at first to do it became encouraged to do it because of the boldness they saw in this case of Paul to give it out. Well, the same ways with you and I. You can be the one that encourages another as you give out a gospel tract, the Gospel of John, or as you just speak with regard to the things of Christ to someone, and others hear you doing it who are believers, it encourages them. It was a little encouragement for me at the celebration of life that we were at. There were, I suspect, a couple hundred people there, friends and neighbors most. How many know Christ? I don't know. But my wife and I sat down at a little bit of talk time and some lunch with a cousin I have not seen for many, many years. In fact, many years ago, I actually had his mother's funeral. And here he was with his wife. And what's he want to talk about the first thing? He wanted to talk about where he went to church. And talk about having been down to a place called Lancaster to watch the Jesus story, Sight and Sound. And that's an encouragement to me to see one of these that I grew up with that was far, far, far from Christ, and I was as well, and to meet them, and it emboldens you, it encourages you. Hey, God's saving some of your family who you haven't even heard about that had taken place. And that brings us to an encouragement to be ready. It's a boldness just to get ready sometimes and to know we're ready. We've all been fearful at times to speak the Word of God. It's often on my mind as I have the gospel someplace, usually on my person, should I or shouldn't I speak to this person about the Lord? Yes, all are to hear things of the Scriptures we believe with the Lord, but there are certain times that are much more ripe and ready than other times to share the things of the Word of God. And so we use wisdom, a discernment from the things of God. I have missed many golden opportunities, I'm sure, to give out the Scriptures, and it hurts to kick yourself, doesn't it? I've done that many times. Perhaps we've not prayed as we should or could or know we ought to be about being bold. The Lord, to make me bold in all the connotations of the word bold, to give out the Word of God. I think we might be weak in this area because we have not asked God to grant to us a boldness to give out the Word of God. Perhaps we need to think about others while we read through the Scriptures. See, Paul's boldness and Peter's and so on to give out the Scriptures. Perhaps we need to think of other individuals we've known in our lifetimes who've been, but they've been ready, they've been bold to give out the Scriptures, and it would encourage us to do that. Other times we have to admit we've just plain stopped giving out the Scriptures. We get out of a habit for it. There needs to be a good habit to be in. None of us have forgotten the habit of what we're going to be doing in about an hour or less. What's that? Eating. We're not going to miss it, are we? You know, we got that. It's just so ingrained in us. Yes, I know, to live and so on. But we ought to believe the Word of God is that important to give it out and to have it set forth from us. We don't realize, you know, often we use the expression, there are lots of unbelievers watching us in our testimony, but do you know there are also lots of believers watching you with regard to your testimony? And are you speaking up for the Lord or not? Being bold for Him for that testimony. You know that once we've spoken and given out the Word of God, and then again, and we've done it again, it gets to be one of those things that ought to be, as we say, just second nature to us. There's just that desire. I need to do it. I want to do it. I plan to do it. I'm ready to do it. I've asked God to embolden me to be ready to answer, to speak for Him. They were fearful in Rome to speak the word until they saw, they heard Paul doing it with consistency. And then they stopped being fearful. They started being bold for the Lord. Might we be the same? Might we be those that would encourage others by way of our boldness? And so might each of us be praying, Lord, make me bold in love with You, Your Word, to give it out. Ephesians chapter 3, and our verse, the Lord Jesus, in Him we have something. We have boldness. Might it be a great conviction of ours. And might we be convincing others by our ongoing testimony that the Lord really is precious to us. We're going to pray, our Father, grant us boldness. Might it be a great desire.